We all sit together. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Nat and the worship team. Psalm 23, please, if you could turn there. The Lord laid on my heart to teach this psalm today. And so I studied it and love reading it. And I pray that it touches your heart. And as Pastor Nat had prayed, let this not be just a gathering. Ask God, Lord, speak to me today. Pray that prayer right now. Lord, speak to my heart today. Let me hear your voice. I want to hear your voice clear. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23, the title of the message is The Good Shepherd. This psalm is one of the most widely known passages in the Bible. Often read at funerals, I read it every funeral that I do, and memorial services. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of it, he said, "It has charmed more griefs to rest than all the philosophy of the world. It has remanded to their dungeon more felon thoughts, more black doubts, more thieving sorrows than there are sands on the seashore. It has comforted the noble host of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of captives in dungeons, of widows in their pinching griefs, of orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated. It has visited the prisoner, broken his chains, and like Peter's angel, led him forth in imagination and sung him back to his home again. It has made the dying Christian slave freer than his master, and consoled those whom, dying, he left behind mourning. Not so much that he was gone, as because they were left behind and could not go too." James Montgomery Boyce says, "For some, the words of this psalm have been the last they have ever uttered in life. But as often as the words have rolled off our own lips, Psalm 23, been heard by our own ears, do we really know what the words mean? It's the message they are telling, who they are addressing." Now, back in the olden days, when I was a kid, and it was the olden days, at school on Friday you had an assembly, and the flag went up, and we sang "God Save the Queen," and we said the Lord's Prayer every Friday. I used to say it as a kid, "Our Father who art in heaven," because that's what I thought it was. And I said it every Friday, lovingly and caringly, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's art in heaven. And sometimes we read the Psalms, and this psalm especially, and we forget what it says. It has been said that familiarity breeds contempt, and this masterpiece of God's word should never be allowed to fall into that category. This psalm, written and sung by David, King David, remember it's a song, at a time when, as having overcome all his enemies later in his life, he settled in his kingdom. He enjoyed great peace and quiet. He had one foot in heaven. He knew where he was going to go. His age was catching up. And he looked back upon his life and he wrote this song and sang it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, just who is the Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. What does Lord mean in your life? I remember as a new Christian, I had to look up, what does the Lord mean? It's not Jesus' name, it's his title, Lord. What does it mean? It means actually captain. It means he who is in charge. That's how it means in the English. But it is the word in Hebrew, Jehovah. It is Jehovah God, the existing one, literally. Jehovah God, the existing one, is my shepherd. It's the name of the supreme God. The Lord is my shepherd. He, the supreme God, the creator of heaven and earth, it is he, this one, who is, then it says, my shepherd. Doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's identity. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. Like for you, he's your Savior. He's your shepherd. Your very personal shepherd. This relationship that God has with you is intensely individual. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He died for the world. But you as an individual, he died for you as an individual. For the thief on the cross, he died for that thief on the cross. For you as an individual, he died for you. It wasn't just a bunch of people. He died specifically for you. He's your shepherd. He's your Savior. Literally, the text says, the Lord is shepherding me. Shepherds of the East guarded their sheep. They led them. They went before them. The sheep followed them. They provided food and water for them. They took care of them when they were weary, when they were bruised, cut, or sick. They rescued them when they strayed. They knew their names, each of the sheep. He gave a name. They were there assisting at the delivery of the lambs and in every way simply loved the sheep. He, the Lord, Jehovah God, the existing one, the supreme God, is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. Pastor Marlon, I'll never forget it because God spoke to him that day when he was doing communion and he would just said a simple sentence, but oh man, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and I've never forgotten it. As he held the bread and the cup, he said, and I still remember, this is my life. This is my life. Jesus was saying, the bread and the cup, my body, my blood, it's me. This is my, I'm giving my life for you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. John chapter 10, which you should read this afternoon and tonight, in line with Psalm 23. John chapter 10 is one of the most amazing passages in the Bible. And in John chapter 10, it tells us that he is the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He is your personal shepherd, and he calls you by name. It's not, hey, you. It's not lassie, laddie, bro. Jesus said, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In other words, he gives everything he has for you. Everything. What more can a person give than to give his life for you? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and we sang that song that was full of scripture, that he gave his only begotten son. I was talking with Nathaniel and Nathan today about his little boy, Nathaniel. He's been sick. And you know, the problems that comes up when you have a child and the first time you go through it and your child is sick. As a parent, you've never suffered like that when your kids get sick. It's a different, you know, you've been an individual and you get sick, yeah, you go through it. But when you're a parent, mum or a dad, and then you have kids that are sick, it's a pain that's very different. It's so hard to see, especially when they're little babies. I still remember when Noah was born and there was a few problems and they put Noah in an ambulance in a little crib and he went off, and then Israel and April drove behind them up to Princess Margaret. As a grandparent, that was a difficult night. You know, you feel, as Nathan said, we feel absolutely helpless. How much do you love your children? So much. Well, God the Father gave His Son for you. I couldn't do it. But God the Father did. He gave His only Son to suffer and die for us. The Bible says in the book of Romans, while we were yet sinners, while we were just going about our business, we didn't even know what was going on. We're just living our lives, filling our own selves, living to our own selfish ambitions. Whilst that, we were living like that. God gave His only Son. We were ignorant. It is at that time that Christ died for us. You see, the Bible says that our shepherd knows you in every detail. Why? He even watched you being formed in your mother's womb. He was there as you were being formed. Psalm 139, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God saw us growing, our fingers moving, our heart begin to beat all of a sudden. And that's a whole another thing when you look at, well, when does life begin? Police deal with situations and accidents, and the magistrates, when a pregnant lady has an accident and the child dies, well, they don't consider the child a child. The child hasn't been born. And that's just the law. But I remember studying about when does life begin, at what time. But all of a sudden, God does a miracle in the womb. And all of a sudden, there's a heartbeat that begins from nowhere. It starts at a moment. And God says, let there be life. And a heart begins forming, beating. It's a miracle. Our good shepherd made your heart begin to beat, that first beat. And then He watched you as your fingers began to grow, your toes and everything began to move. But in Ephesians, it tells us that He actually saw you even before the foundations of the earth were laid. How much does He know us? Jesus says He even knows how many hairs you have on your head. Now, we each need the shepherd, not a shepherd. We each need the shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us in this room, in the entire world, 7.5 billion people, nearly 8 billion, all of us have run away from God at some time. Is that you? How often do you hear families talking about, and I it's because I do so many funerals, I often talk, well, he's the black sheep of the family. It's funny how families use that term. Yeah, she's the black sheep of the family. Don't know if they're coming. The Bible says all we, like sheep, have gone astray. goes into more detail. We have turned everyone, all of us, to his own way. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Well, don't eat of that one fruit of that one tree. Just one. We'll do it. And they died. We try it, don't we? We all, kids growing up, dad says, mum says, yeah, I know what they said, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what I think. And the Lord has laid upon him, our shepherd, the running away and foolishness, the things that we did, the things that we regret, we look back at our past, and we go, hope no one knows about it. God took all of that and laid it upon him. He has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As I said last week, back in the times of the temple, I would take a goat or a sheep or something for my family up to the temple. And as it was being given a sacrifice for my family, I would then pray, put my hands over the sheep or the goat, and I would pray over the sins that I believe my family and I had done. Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive us for that. You laying upon that animal, the innocent animal, the sins, the iniquity of us all. Then that animal, which knows nothing about anything, is led up and killed for us. The innocent. The shedding of blood. There needs to be the shedding of blood. But the animal, that only covered the sin. I had to do it again and again and again. But when Jesus died, his blood, innocent, my sins laid upon him. He died, and once and for all I was forgiven. Once and for all I was made clean. Every one of us was lost. Every one of us was lost. Jesus, when he saw us, said, and it says in Matthew 9:36, he saw the multitudes coming in Israel, coming to where he was. And it says, he was moved with compassion. In other words, he went, oh, look. It's the term that speaks of your gut. You feel it in the gut. You know when you see something on TV or you see something terrible, you go, oh, that's terrible. It says, he was moved with compassion. That's what it means for them, because as he saw the sheep, he says, they were weary, scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And you know, when I walk around the world and you and I leave this place today and we go out about our business and through the week and at the schools, where you're at a school or a university, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your shopping center, you see it. Sheep are lost, aren't they? We're scattered. You see them weary. No shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25, Peter says, for you were like sheep going astray. Peter reemphasizes that. But have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There are sadly many sheep lost today who are without a shepherd, wandering, in danger, alone, living distress and fear. My question is that you this morning? I remember going to church with Helen. The Holy Spirit was working upon our lives. We weren't saved at that time, been married a year, and we decided to go to church. Why? The Holy Spirit was drawing us. I didn't know. Go to church. The minister spoke of a sign that the church had put up down the road. He complained about that. And he spoke about the fate and the jumble sale that they were going to have. And I was so angry. I was going to kick all the chairs down in the back, but only because it's not the right thing to do in church. I was livid. And we left. Because I wanted to hear about God. I was a sheep lost looking for the shepherd, and I thought the shepherd, you could find him in church. I know what it's like to be lost. Are you lost this morning? You might be happily married. Good job. Doing well. Health. But you're lost. Talking to a fellow this week, his son is 20. I won't go into details for confidence. But his son came home the other day. He says, oh, I'm just done. I'm just done. What do you mean? He says, it's not worth me living. Seriously. I should just kill myself. And he was serious. You see, so many people lost. And lost without the shepherd. In John 10, it says, the sheep have been found that have been found, have six things they reveal that tells them that they've been found. One, they know their shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. I know him. They know his voice. When God speaks, they hear his voice. I pray this morning as the word of God is open to you, you're either going to be, no, how long is this going to happen? And you'll be, all you'll be hearing is blah, 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 blah. You just wait and hurry up, finish. Well, you're still wandering. You're not looking for a shepherd. You're well and truly lost, and you don't know that part. But if God is speaking to your heart today, it means that you're a sheep, and his voice, you're listening. You're hearing God speak to you. They know his voice. They hear him calling each by name. And you know, as the Bible's being read and this passage has been explained, you know, he's talking about my life. I'm sitting in this church, but I tell you, it seems to be that this bloke is just talking straight to me this morning. That the words that he's mentioning is my life, and I don't know who told him. I don't know how it's revealed, but it's me. They hear him calling them each by name. His sheep love him. They trust him. And they follow him. In verse 1 it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The New Living Translation says it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. How many people do you talk to today? What do you need? Well, I need a lotto. I need a lotto. I need to get this. I need this. I need that. You know, as a kid, I was always in need of something. There was the new need. I need to have those shoes. I've got to have those jeans. I've got to have that. I've got to have this. And then when you get it, there's a whole new thing that, but I need that as well. And we continue to go on in our adult life. Well, I need a holiday. I need a coffee now. I need to do this. I need to do that. And we're just going on ourselves and we're living. We just move from need to need to need. When you have the shepherd, there's a place that very few people find. But when you come across these people, oh, they are the most wonderful people to be with. They have all they need. They don't need anything. What can we get you? Don't need anything. How are you traveling? I'm good. Psalm 84:11 says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now what happens is we get our needs, and God doesn't give us what we think we need, and so God becomes terrible. He doesn't listen. He doesn't answer our prayers. And, you know, he's just like my mum. He's just like my dad. He's not understanding. I need that boy. I need that girl. They're the only one for me, but they don't realize it. I need this. I need that. I need that job. And why aren't you giving to me these things, God, that I need? Well, the Bible says, The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The thing is, you and I are dumb like sheep, and we don't know what we really need. We really don't know. I mean, I was talking to Jake this morning. He's at school. I mean, can you remember at school, by year nine at school, you've got to know what subjects you're going to be, what you've got to do, what track, what you're going to do, because you've got to know that, but you've got to know the job. I mean, at the age of 30, I still didn't know what job I needed. I didn't know what I was to be. Was it 30? Maybe back 20s, I don't know. But, I mean, how are you supposed to know? That's where you come to the place you go, well, God, I don't know what I need, but Lord, you give me what you know is best for me. That's a great place to be. Jesus said of life here on earth, Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Oh, well, but I don't know this. I've got that. No, I'm so worried about. Oh, good. You go and worry and just carry on. That won't change anything. Probably need a lot of Botox after. Jesus said, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Although the dress, Meghan Markle's dress, I believe it was white. You see, this is the place we all come to at some time. There's more to life than what I'm doing. There's more to life than what I have. Because you and I have the shepherd, the all-sufficient one, nothing can or need be added to what my soul requires to have. He holds nothing back from what he desires me to have. Jeremiah 29:11 says, the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Everything I think about you is for your good. Jesus walked this earth as a man. He has learned by experience himself, for he himself, it says of him, he was led as a sheep to slaughter. He knows what it's like to go down that path. When Jesus says, I know my sheep, he's not saying, I just know about them. He knows what it's like to walk in your footsteps. He knows what it's like as a young kid to have his father, his stepfather died, Joseph, and he, the eldest son, now has to look after everybody else. He was the carpenter. He's got to look after his mother, Mary. He's got to look after his brothers and sisters. He's the eldest. He knows what it's like to have a slur on your name every time his mother went down to the shop. There's that woman. She said that God gave her a child. She said that she was pregnant and she'd never been with a man. That's the kid from that family. Why, even Nathaniel said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? He grew up in a billy goat town. It's still a billy goat town. If you go there today, it's a place that's up and down, and there's no flat areas in Nazareth. It's a honky little joint. Still is. Everywhere you walk like this. It's up and down, up and down. Can't ride a bike there. It's just hillbilly country. He came from there. You see, he walked. In Hebrews 2:18, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we're being tested. He had his best friends turn on him. He had his best mate put him in. Kissed him. Said, he's the one. To you today, God knows and has exactly what you need. But the point that you miss in this is identifying that which you do really need. And what you need is, listen, Him. Him. There's something about as a child, when you're a child, some of you growing up in broken homes, you didn't have that. But the desire was there. You wanted to be held. You wanted to be protected. You wanted a safe place. When I do funerals of infants, I talk about them now being in the arms of a loving father, because that's where every little baby needs to go. You see, we have a desire to be held, to be protected. We need Him. And you know, a happy kid like that doesn't need anything else. They can play with whatever. They don't need anything else. They have a dad, a mom. See, all your wants, all your needs are found in a person, Him. Jesus said on the last day, John 7:37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." The emphasis was on me. He who believes in me, personal. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, when you have, that's why a marriage is like that and such a precious thing in the Bible. Marriage is when you get to, and you have that, you don't need anything. Well, we've got our home burnt down, or this happened. Well, we got each other. We've got each other. The family's safe. We have this. Then it says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake." Sheep are very, very timid. So much so that they will not lie down as long as they are fearful. They're fearful, aren't they? They won't lay down. They're scared. Won't lay down. They'll not lay down if they're being tormented by pests or parasites. They won't just sit. They won't lay down. And if they're hungry, they won't lay down. They keep looking for something to eat. They won't lay down. Jesus said to His disciples at one time, Mark 6:31, and He said unto them, "Come you yourselves apart into a desert place. Come with me. Come away with me. And rest a while. Take a rest. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." No leisure so much so to eat. The Bible speaks of leisure. They didn't have time to just rest. Jesus said, "You know, guys, you need to come apart with me, because everyone's coming. You're ministering and ministering. You haven't even had time to eat." God brings us to a place, and there are times in our lives, and if I asked each and every one of you, all of you, even kids now, I say, "How are you going?" "Busy." "I'm really busy. I'm just busy all the time." "How are you going?" "I'm busy." "How was last week?" "Not bad." "This week?" "I'm busier than last week. And next week I've got all these other things. I'm busy." Everyone's busy. The Bible tells us He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We live in a fast-paced world that is driven with self-ambition and cutthroat philosophies that tramples the timid, exterminates the weak. And as our good shepherd, Jesus will gather us into a quiet place where we can find peace and rest for our weary souls. Listen, 90% of us here in this building today need to spend a time with the Lord alone. And you haven't. And that's why you're getting sick, you're anxious, you're not sleeping, you're worried. My favorite verse in the Bible, Moses and Joshua go to the temple, go to the place of meeting, the tabernacle. Haven't built the temple. They see the Lord. Then Moses leaves, and it simply says this, and Joshua stayed. You know why he stayed? He says, this is good to be here. It's just, I ain't going anywhere. And Joshua was the fighter. He's ready to fight. He's right now. This is where I need to be. You're missing out on the place where you need to be. You aren't an animal. You're not a machine. You are made in the image of God, and God has made you to a place where you need to sit down alone and be with Him and just be with Him. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You just need to nuzzle up to the shepherd. You need to just lay in His arms. You need to let Him touch you. Take away your worries. Calm you. Restore to you that which is worn out and broken down and frazzled. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You remember the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was wearied by both her illness. Imagine bleeding for 12 years. How she must have felt. She'd searched for healing. She'd paid every doctor, every specialist she'd gone to try and get healed. Nothing had happened. She sees this rabbi, Jesus. He's walking through the crowd. He says, if I could just touch him. She touched the fringe of his robe, his prayer robe, his shawl. And they have the fringes that hang down. She says, if I could just touch it. So she grabs through the crowd, reaches out. Then Jesus says, whoa, who touched me? He knew who touched him. And Peter's gone, what do you mean, Lord? I mean, look, it's like walking down Sideshow Alley. Everyone's touching you. What do you mean? Who touched you? What are you going on about? No, he says, I felt power, virtue go out of me. And then that little old lady says, it was me. Why did he stop and why did he ask her? Why didn't he just carry on? He was on his way to Jairus' house. Why did he stop? He said to her, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. Why did Jesus stop and ask who had touched him? The woman was a sheep without a shepherd. And she was lost. Jesus' healing of her was the physical. But Jesus was speaking to this blessed woman, ill for so many years. He that day led her as her shepherd to green pastures and still waters. She found, although a shepherd had found her, she now had a shepherd. Her life changed. It wasn't just the bleeding. That's what brought her to the shepherd. Now she has a shepherd. She's not on her own anymore. He's going to look after her. He knows her by name. Green pastures. God promised the children of Israel a land of milk and honey. Maybe you this morning are after a relationship, a husband. I mean, there's TV show after TV show that I recommend, Bachelorette, Bachelorette, this island, that island, whatever you want to do. They're all sincere people looking for a husband and a wife. No, they're not. They're just blank, blank, people looking to make a career. And they'll do anything to have it. And you know what? The world is into voyeurism and people watch it. Maybe this morning you are after a relationship. A husband. A wife. You're so desperate for a child. Maybe you're after peace and a purpose for your life. You could be 20 years old and thinking, my life is worthless. By your own devices, you will never find the green pastures. We always hear it. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side of the road, on the other hill. You know what? It ain't. Oh, well, I've got that now. Nothing's changed. You'll never find the still waters to quench your souls. But by following Jesus, your good shepherd, he will lead you to both. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll look after all the rest. You just, kids, exam time comes up. Well, I need to change going to church. I mean, Sunday morning, I should be up doing my assignment. No, Sunday morning, you should be in church. And you know what? Our kids came Sunday evening as well. Because they put Christ first. Because you put God first, the rest of your life gets in order. It's when you start allowing other things to dominate, you are out of order. You're off square, and I tell you, it ain't going to work. Don't listen to the advice of the world. The world out there is going to blow up and kill itself. Don't listen to the advice of the world. They can't sort anything out. To Abraham, who wanted what? An heir. What did he do? God gave him Isaac. Impossible. No, because Abraham trusted in the Lord, even though Abraham and Sarah were beyond the age of having children. God said, that don't work with me. You're having a kid. His name's going to be Isaac. A son he couldn't have by his own means. To Isaac, who wanted a wife, and you young men and young ladies who are looking for a partner, don't go looking in the nightclub. Don't go looking in the places where everyone else is looking for someone, because you get the wrong fish. To Isaac, God brought Rebecca. Let God be the one who brings your partner to you. You serve the Lord. You love the Lord. You do all that the Lord asks you to do. And God will bring you the best man, the best woman that you would never even have thought of. To a demon-possessed Mary from Magdala, Jesus gave deliverance and a life of hope and love. She'd lived in torment. And to a thief, dying justly on a cross, Jesus said, I give you forgiveness. By the way, I'm thrown in paradise. Paradise. You get more from the Lord. Jesus, as our shepherd, leads. He does not drive us. He calls you to follow him. 24 times I went through the New Testament last night. Jesus says to individuals, follow me. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This morning, are you thirsty? This morning, are you trying to sort things out yourself? This morning, are you following him? Or like Jonah next week, running away from him. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. That's when you do things yourself. I've tried that. I tried to sort things out myself as a husband, as a father. Good job. Ruined. Terrible. Things that I had to repent from God for. What a terrible, terrible, foolish man. When you start as a husband trying to lead your family, doing it your way, I became a disgrace. The things that I did. You say, whoa, terrible, terrible things? No, terrible, terrible things in that my family needed a godly man to lead them. A godly man to love them. Not a man of the world. They shouldn't go through stuff like that. Men, you need to be a godly man leading your family. Don't you lead. Let God lead you. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep, when overwhelmed, and this is what they do, and I've seen this, will lay in their predicament and wait to die. They can't get up. They'll just stay there and they'll die. They can't move, can't get up. I'm just going to lay here. And they get picked off by predators, eaten alive. There are times when we give up just like that poor sheep. Many people, maybe you this morning, believe that when a child of God stumbles, falls, when they become frustrated, feeling helpless in a spiritual storm or battle, and you stumble, you sink like Peter did, tried to walk on the water, he did, and then he began to sink, that God becomes disgusted with you, fed up and annoyed. That's what you think, but that's not what is true. The good shepherd, hear what the good shepherd says. If a man has 100 sheep, Jesus said, and one of them, so they're part of the flock, and wanders away, one of them wanders away, what will he do? That stupid sheep, let it go. Idiot. Sounds like the prodigal son, doesn't it? Well, that kid, he's got his money. He's out of the family. That's what the world says. Jesus says, but won't he, the shepherd, leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? Matthew 18:13. And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander. Can you get that? So the dumb sheep that took off, the shepherd goes and gets it. And when the shepherd finds it, and it's the own sheep's dumb fault, the shepherd goes, awesome. He celebrates because he's found it. David had lied. He had committed adultery. And he sadly played the major part in the murder of an innocent man, the husband of the woman he committed adultery with. David was not cast aside by God. In shepherding terms, David wrote Psalm 51, purge me, because David was, he knew he'd done it. And he came back to the Lord. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness because it had gone. Then he says, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. That's a shepherding term. Because when a sheep continues to run and run and run away, you know what they do? They snap one of the legs. The shepherd snaps one of the legs. And the sheep, their legs go like that. They can't run anymore. So then after the shepherd has snapped its leg, then the shepherd will bind it, bandage it, and then he carries it from that time on. That one there. And it sleeps closer with him the whole time. And when the leg is fixed, he doesn't run away anymore. David said, the bones you broke, Lord, I understand. Create in me a clean heart, O God. It is at that time the shepherd then carries the sheep until the leg is healed. Then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I'll close with this. The greatest proof of our Christianity is how we face death when we are confronted with it. Hebrews chapter 2, bear with me as the worship team gets set. It says in Hebrews 2:14, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Then listen to this. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. I was asked to visit a man who had but a week to live at Murdoch Hospice. You go into Murdoch Hospice, you go there, you only go in there. You don't leave Murdoch Hospice but by funeral parlor. Entering the room of the man, I didn't know him. I'd never met. He was a retired senior sergeant of police. Very dignified man. Very strong, robust man. But he had fear in his eyes when I first saw him. And so I said to him, I'm very frank at those times, I said, are you ready to die? I'm not there to put a bandage on something that doesn't need a bandage. I'm there to talk to his soul. I said to him kindly and gently, I said, are you ready to die? Because the fear in his eyes, he was scared. He said, I'm scared. I don't know what will happen to me. So I shared the gospel with him, how that God loved him, and that by faith he could prepare to meet his Maker, and how he could have peace about death. And then I read to him Psalm 23. And as I was reading it to him, his wife came in, an elderly lady. She noticed I was reading the Bible, and so she went to excuse herself. Oh, sorry, I'll come back. And he said, no. You come, sit down. You need to hear this too. And so I read out the scriptures to him that morning, and when I left him, the fear had gone from his eyes. He had made himself ready to meet the Lord. He was now not afraid to die. He lived just a few more days from that day, and I visited him each of those days, and I would walk into his room. I would sit down, I would grab my Bible, and I'd read through the Psalms, and Psalm 23 was one I always read to him. And he would lay there and close his eyes, be in absolute peace, and then I'd pray and he'd say, thank you. This morning I want to ask you, are you fearful of death? Does its grip hold you and choke you at its mention? Remember when the poor man Lazarus, who lay covered in sores outside the rich man's house, and they both died at the same time? Can you remember what Jesus said happened when Lazarus pass from this world to the next? Luke 16:22. Finally, the poor man died, listen to this, and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. I watched my mother breathe her last breath, and that scripture came to my mind as she died in front of us. And then I pictured the angels taking her home. God is with you at every moment as your shepherd, and he is with you at your last breath here on this planet. You are never, never not alone. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of time, David says, I hope to go to heaven. No, I hope everything's all right when he dies. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I die, I will be in the presence of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, I pray for you to have spoken to the lost sheep today, to those without the shepherd. If you're here this morning and you have heard from God, I want to pray with you at the front here. The pastors will be available. If you've been on the run, you're the one. And God has spoken to you and found you today. He wants to restore your soul. We want to pray for you. Let's stand and worship the Lord.